Here at Staggering Stories, we have some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
The last of our number is now over the hill, getting on a bit, galloping towards the final stretch of life, generally really, really old. Adam is 50.
Why? 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 Why?
So, aging podcast editors aside, welcome, welcome, welcome to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I am...
60 in a few months.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Now, we have...
We're cut down.
We are. It's just the three of us today. We have no Jean, because all the snot in the world is currently in her body trying to get out.
It's quite disgusting.
It's gross.
Alien films have got nothing on her.
Oh, yeah. You know the squelchy noises that's...
Oh, the Foley artist.
Yeah. And Crumbly, we have to wish Fake Crumbly the very best, because she's back in hospital, unfortunately.
All good luck. Yep.
And so Crumbly, because he's a decent sort, is with her. So get better, Fake Crumbly.
Yes.
Because we miss your lengthy tirades.
Yep. The interesting discourse she goes to.
Yes. Yep.
Without further ado, it's on to the news with El Presidente.
Woohoo!
Doctor Who news?
Ooh.
Gatois gets waxed.
He probably does a lot.
Yeah.
He's a very shiny chap. His chest is smooth.
Those were good legs.
Very good legs.
Yeah. Dancer's legs.
Best legs since Barrowman, quite frankly.
Quite possibly, yes. Anyway, with the dearth of official Doctor Who attractions, we do have one small addition coming in the form of a waxwork of Shuti Gatwa's 15th Doctor, coming to Madame Two Swords.
Ooh.
Other doctors who have put in time for Madame Two Swords includes Tom Baker and more recently Jodie Whittaker. Mm. Baker's fourth Doctor dummy is especially notorious for having stood in for the real Tom during the Five Doctors publicity shoots.
Mm.
Here they are hoping to do a better job with Gatwa's skin tone than they did with Baker's.
He was greyish, wasn't he?
Sadly, this won't be the big dedicated Doctor Who zone as they did with the Marvel characters in recent years, but instead, Gatwa's Auton duplicate will likely have his TARDIS, but otherwise, according to Two Swords, be surrounded by the likes of James Bond, A and E.T.
Mm.
Major General Scobie is not expected to join them. This new plastic POW will be officially unveiled sometime in July at the London Madame Two Swords just off Baker Street.
Hmm. Don't know if you've ever been to the London Madame Two Swords.
I used to go as a kid and went a couple of times to the school and that.
I do remember going by myself, when we had the Baker exhibit up.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that was a sort of a Doctor Who, a dedicated Doctor Who thing, because we had, Fomazzi, Daleks, a Marsh person, Romana, and Tom Baker's Doctor.
Was there a Megloss 2?
There was a Megloss.
Which is a bit of a cheap old, just reused Tom Baker one, and put a few bits in
there. I do remember the last time I went with the boys with Construct number 1 and 2, they had a little section off to one side showing you how they made the waxworks
figures. Yeah, I'm sure it's still there. Yeah.
And up in the selection of heads, which they previously had, they still had Tom Baker's head and Megloss's head, showing you how they preserve things.
How they pickled his head in time.
Inside number 9, West End continuation.
Oh, wow.
With Inside number 9 coming to an end on TV with the upcoming 9th series, it was assumed that would be it. Not quite so, as the duo of Steve Pemberton and Rhys Shearsmith are bringing it to the London stage. The dark comedy anthology will blend some elements from the TV series along with new material for its 12-week run at the Wyndham Theatre, starting on the 18th of January 2025. I'd like to go and see that.
Yeah.
Because they are...
disturbingly interesting.
Very disturbing. Yeah. Jodie Whittaker's been in a couple.
Yeah?
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay. I've not seen many. I really must catch
I know...
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
Well,
I
if you did,
do.
You would have said it.
I'm trying to say, but go you just... distract me.
I destruct you.
You do that as well. Yeah. I can't remember the Santarman's name.
Dan Starkey?
Yeah, Dan Starkey.
So you should have just asked me rather than over there like a deranged bumblebee.
I was desperately rummaging through my mental files.
Oh, dear.
But my mental files are like the shed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what he was in that? One.
Oh, okay. thanks for that. Any more news?
Scooby-Doo.
Woohoo. Ooh.
Live-action series for Netflix.
Ooh.
Serial series murderers, Netflix, have teamed up with the Arrowverse head honcho Greg Berlanti to bring those meddling kids to a new live-action streaming series. Berlanti has recently been working on a similarly themed supernatural horror detective comedy drama in the form of Neil Gaiman's Dead Boy Detectives, also for Netflix.
That. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard it's a good thing. It's very good. I've not got Netflix at the moment, It is early days for the Scooby-Doo series. Scripts have been ordered and, if liked, would go directly into production without a pilot.
Mm.
Warner Bros. Television, owners of Hanna-Barbera, would be the studio making the series on behalf of Netflix. If it does make it to the series, expect it to be killed after one season, and it won't take the likes of Velma, Daphne, Fred and Shaggy to work out that the killer was old man Netflix all along.
You're not optimistic, are you?
Well, Netflix has form.
Netflix has form, and the franchise of Scooby-Doo isn't doing very well with Velma at the moment.
They did do their second season of that Velma thing. I've not seen it.
Yeah, but I know the first season was condemned by...
Everybody hated it.
Yeah.
Doctor Who, The Prom Returns!
Hey.
11 years since the last Doctor Who prom in 2013. Since then, we've had 4 Doctors and about 7 companions. Now it's back as part of the annual BBC proms at the Royal Albert Hall in London. Bank Holiday Monday, the 26th of August, will see the prom at both 2:30 and a second performance at 7 p.m. As with previous Doctor Who proms, it appears that this one will concentrate on Murray Gold's work, no doubt with many pieces from the upcoming series. The format will remain as it was, featuring sequences from the series on big screens, spectacular lighting and a host of special guests. And yes, there will be monsters. Tickets go on sale on the 17th of May. Oh, we've got to go to that.
Yeah, it's got to go there. Preferably probably the afternoon one, but failing that.
Yeah, either's anyway. Good. Either's good.
I don't care.
Yeah, why not both?
Are there any addendums?
I have one addendum.
Ooh.
Only one. William Shatner.
Dead.
No.
At 93.
Not dead.
Has said he would be interested in a return to Kirk.
Okay.
They could use Pike's old bath chair thingy.
In a promo for promoting his new documentary, You Can Call Me Bill.
Oh, yes.
He was asked various questions on a video call.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things was, would you be interested in returning to the role of Kirk? It's an intriguing idea, Shatner said on the video call. It's almost impossible, but it would be a great role and so well written. If there was a reason to be there, not just making a cameo appearance, but if it was a genuine reason for the character appearing, I might consider it.
That's what Elizabeth Sladen used to say about Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to just be doing her shopping
in the background.
Well, we'll see, but...
I don't see it happening.
No, I don't.
I really don't, but...
Not with the current state of Star Trek, anyway. It's in a very ropey place at the moment, or the Paramount.
But, as you say, never say never. I personally don't see it happening, but...
Well, 93 is a pretty good age already. I mean, if they're going to do it, they have to do it soon, I think.
Yeah. Nothing too strenuous.
Yeah. Although he's aging pretty well, because he's 93.
He is quite
But I'm just saying, no more sort of double fist chops to the back of Gorn necks.
I have an addendum.
Oh, yeah.
Bernard Hill.
Ah, dead.
Dead.
Yes.
Now, I first, apart from vague memories of him when I was a kid, as Yossa from Boys from the Black
Gets
Stuff.
Gets a job.
Oh, right.
He was Joe in Shirley Valentine, Pauline Collins' husband, and he was the captain in Titanic.
Yep.
Oh, right. Wow.
That went down like a lead balloon. And he was, of course, the king in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
and the Hobbits, Elijah Woods and that lot, have already put out a tribute to their gruff, funny friend. He did have a gruff.
He did.
He looked gruff.
He cornered the market in that type of character. Sometimes the nasty gruff, sometimes the gruff with the little heart of gold.
And he was 79.
Yeah.
Well, Macy's quite that old, yeah.
No.
Because, again, Lords of the Rings was about 20-odd years ago,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, and that's the end of the news. Now, we know it's your birthday. And
oh,
that you're
yes.
officially well, old. Would yeah, you like to open a present?
Go on then, thank you.
Go on.
Just the one.
Presents.
Start with the card.
It's
got to read the card
it's
very
a
carefully.
Dignified card.
It is.
It conveys our true feelings.
Yeah.
A few words to describe you. Maybe take the first letter of each one here. Wonderful, awesome, nice, kind, easygoing, remarkable.
There you go.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. Oh, would you look at that acronym? I totally did not see that until now. Thank you.
You're welcome, wanker.
She saw it.
You lying said, tart. You ran did. Across Tesco's going, look, I found it.
You did see it after I pointed it out to you.
There we go. That's not too bad, is it?
I got your Christmas wrapping paper, though.
Oh, was there?
Little reindeers.
Reindeers, well, they don't just appear at Christmas. They are there all year round.
I know. You could have told me that when we went to the nature centre, we went to find the owl and we walked past the reindeer and it's, Nana, Nana, look. And what? Did a poo. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Which thanks course, for that, Luca.
Which, of course, 4 years old. That's hilariously funny.
Oh, lots of Blu-rays. The Boys Season 1, Boys Season 2 and The Boys Season 3.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's lots of boys for you to look at.
It is indeed.
Oh, that came out wrong. Sorry.
Excellent. Thank you.
I think happy birthday. Did you have a nice birthday?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yes. Fairly quiet day.
Did you go out for a meal?
I did go out for a meal, yes. Yeah. What did I do in the morning? Oh, I went to Guildford.
Is that what happens when you get to 50?
Yeah.
They were
doing a walking tour of Guildford.
Well, neither did I.
Oh, we did go to Guildford once because that was when we went with Andrew and Morella. Mm. And she took all the photos.
Yeah.
Because that's where Andy Nunny lives, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Hi, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Anyway, we forgot about this, so last night we watched it.
Yeah. It's only
anyway,
42 minutes.
We're now going to talk about Doctor Who. Pause for music.
So, Rose, it is
What with the new series being series one again and starting with episode one, we have gone back to the reboot.
Episode one,
Rose.
One thing we noticed about watching reactors who are seeing Rose for the first time is they all think the 2005 effects are really dodgy.
Yes. I think they're that bad, really.
No, yeah. I think they. I really do think they stand up well.
But yeah.
Compared to original.
It just makes me so funny. Yeah. These poor kids have to go back and watch some really dodgy effects.
Try doing the classic series, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, before New Who kicked off, Keith was grumpy and sort of not believing it was going to happen.
Yeah,
he told me, if they reboot Doctor Who, you can call me Susan for a week, which I did.
She did. She called me Susan for the entire week.
And even the opening credits went up and he still had his dubious look on his face. Okay, that's all right, I suppose. He didn't particularly like the beginning couple of minutes with Mickey and Rose dicking about. There was much frowning on his face. And then the doctor said run, and there was a and he was slightly less frowny. And then the doctor was all bouncy and enthusiastic, and he was going, Then the doctor did the speech about being able to feel the turning of the earth, and he went, And then by the end of it, he was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's back, yeah.
Okay, can call me Susan.
And I did. He was still grumpy about Eccleston being bouncy and enthusiastic until we were told what had happened.
I've got to admit, at the time, watching it at the time, I thought he was too manic mugging at the camera.
Yes.
But as it turned out, there was a reason for the manicness and mugging to the camera and the false bravado.
And as you pointed out, when he'd done the I can feel the earth turning and then sent Rose on her way, when he walks away from her,
the look
smile
on his face
is gone.
Yeah.
And it's just anger.
The look on his face when he, after that scene, when he walks away. It's a case of, this is how it used to be. This was him explaining things to a companion, and he could pretend none of it's happened, and then it comes crashing back down as he's walking away. His face at that point looks like thunder.
We did realise why he needs companions when he couldn't spot the London Eye. Sometimes he's so almighty powerful and everything's huge to him that he needs this little human to go, actually, you know, there, that's what you're looking for. That was a cool scene, though.
Yeah. And what occurred to me on rewatching this, like, I think I've rewatched first episodes of Unearthly Child.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor is not the central figure from this. The Doctor is very much, like in Unearthly Child, it was done from Ian and Barbara's point of view.
This is done from Rose's point
of view. Yeah, this is done from Rose. So he's very much separated from the story.
Mm.
He's got all the answers, and that doesn't come until the end, but he's very much...
Yeah,
you don't see any of the setup. He's just suddenly there.
Yeah.
Doing halfway through whatever his mission is.
Like I said on when we did the written review for the website, before the days of the podcast.
Indeed,
It was like episode... We're coming in on episode 3.
Yeah.
I'm sure inventing the anti-plastic would have been an episode and a half. In the lab somewhere.
Pertwee in the lab. Yeah.
And I remember being, when we were watching this the first time, waiting and waiting and waiting for the TARDIS to appear and thinking, oh, what if they changed the TARDIS? Oh, no. And then this sigh of relief as Rose runs past her and it just goes,
there she is.
Yeah. Even now, it's still a really good episode.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to kick off.
It does hold up.
It's very high energy, particularly those first few minutes.
Yeah.
Very fast cutting of that music as well.
Yeah.
It feels very different to what Classic Who was.
Yes.
But then the music cuts.
Yeah. Then immediately as she goes into the basement.
Gets real.
Yeah, and it doesn't really go back to that same pace again.
No.
That's clearly there to entice people in.
Perhaps the only time it gets close to it is when they're running across Westminster Bridge.
Yes.
Mm.
And apparently that took about 20 minutes because they were waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
And then two came along.
Yeah. I did try to look at the people on the bus when I rewatched it last night, see if anybody is looking at them, because obviously there's going to be a film crew down there.
Yeah.
But
well, you would look more to the film crew.
And the TARDIS would have been there.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe. Because that's just around the corner, whether it's there or...
Because they landed next to one of the struts of Westminster Bridge and then ran across the bridge.
Yeah.
That was one thing we mentioned towards the end when anti-plastics in and the whole place is going up.
Oh, yeah.
That's under Westminster Bridge. That's part of the structure.
The bridge should come crashing down at that point.
It doesn't dwell too much, that sort of thing. After they're defeated, the Autons, you have Jackie just outside the shopping arcade. Yeah. You've got dead bodies lying on the ground.
Yeah.
But no mention of it at all. The Doctor just, you know, all happy.
We've done it.
Problem over.
People have died.
Clive is dead in the shopping parade, presumably.
That's another thing that I've noticed on the reactors, people who've reacted to this. The amount of grief Clive gets. You know,
they shot him!
But at least at the end of his life, he knew he was right.
Yeah, everything he ever believed in was correct.
Yeah.
Bit of a bummer, bit of a way to find out. But
it was good to see Jackie again as she was.
Oh, yeah!
Because it shows how much of character development she had.
Oh,
in that she went from being this, quite frankly, shallow person to... the best mum any of them ever had.
Yeah, mum for all of them.
And she decided she didn't like the Doctor from the moment he went, nah, when she said anything could happen. After that, he was slap fodder.
Yeah, yep. Until Tennant came along and then he got a kiss.
Eventually,
yeah.
Yes, and talking of character development, Mickey, of course, was he really was a complete cowardly idiot in this.
Yeah. He was, I don't want to say badly written, but he was the badly written comedy foil.
Yes.
Again, he's another character that gets a lot of improvement as the episodes go on. They all...
Yes.
No one is static. They all change.
Yeah, and he finds a backbone.
Yeah.
Try to put yourself in that situation and how would you react? And I like to think that even at our most cowardly, we'd just run away.
Not whimper and grab onto
someone's leg like bad 1920s heroine from a film.
Yeah.
But as I said when we was watching it, there seems to be two types of people. The one who runs away and the one who runs towards
the danger.
Yes.
Yeah. And another example of how well it's written is when Rose is getting the rope to, or the chain to swing to the rescue. Yeah. It's the fact that she didn't win the gymnastics when she was seven. No. She got the bronze.
It's high up there.
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, there were only three of them in the...
Everybody's a winner.
Yeah, it would have been so easy to say she won it. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
She got the bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the fact that, as Amy would do nowadays, particularly now compared to then even, she just does a Google for the Doctor.
Yeah.
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 Which is what you'd do.
You don't see that much in New Who, which you really should.
Yeah.
Because they use it again, don't they? Someone Googles TARDIS and it sets off an alarm in UNIT.
Blue box incident. Yeah.
Poor Clive. And another, of course, in-joke for anyone who's been a fan for years. Someone's been reading about the Doctor on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It's a she? She's been reading about the Doctor and she's a she?
Yeah. Which works back then, but wouldn't work so well now.
It wouldn't work now at all, but back then, when fandom was coming out of the 80s,
it was still
mainly men.
Yeah, it was still classic, you know, the classic fan group.
Yeah, so that's why they definitely changed.
Wouldn't work now.
Yeah.
I did think there was a missed opportunity with Clive's little den. We don't see any other Doctors. That would have been the time to, even having them in the background.
Yeah. In the book, there is, because they novelised this recently, so the book...
Yes, a couple of years.
Yeah, the book, there is various Doctors, including Jodie.
Oh yeah, okay.
In his file, but
yeah,
I think it's a missed opportunity. But you're trying to lure in new audience, so you don't want to confuse them.
No, it shouldn't have been a thing they highlighted. But it should have something
been in the
background
on a board. Yeah. Like when they go to UNIT and you can see all the various companions on the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He does say, this is your Doctor, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there is an implication
there are others.
Another thing in the book is Wilson, the lottery dude.
Yes. CEO, Chief Electrical Officer.
In the book, you know, death was sort of quite a relief to him, really.
Oh, really?
Because he'd been fiddling the lottery and keeping the money for himself.
Okay.
But their numbers had come up.
And he
was having to work out how to pay them all.
So
death came at just the right time.
Yeah, it was a mixed blessing for Wilson.
Was there any joke about the original broadcast? There was that bleed through from
Graham Norton.
I don't think so.
Nothing in the book to allude to that.
That would have been fun.
Nah, it was a
show. I've never liked Norton.
You cannot base your dislike of Graham Norton on something that wasn't his fault.
It happened twice with Graham Norton. Various things.
It was the
reasons.
Star Trek fan in the booth deliberately pressing the button at the wrong time. Poor, I like Graham Norton. He does a damn good chat show. Oh, you judgmental old man.
Was I'd liked the way they revealed the interior of the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah.
Had Rose, you'd go in, you don't see really what she sees.
No, you just see...
She backs out and runs around.
It says, it's the primitive hindbrain reacting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when the thing's coming through the door, the logical brain's going, yeah, okay, it's going to kill us, go in the box.
But also, it was the camera...
The panning shot up and over.
Yeah, pulling back, so you get the full majesty.
Yeah.
They probably could have done that sort of thing in the TV movie, but before then...
No,
The set wasn't tall enough or anything like that.
You pull back too far and you see the lights
and the wires and
the top of the wall.
Yeah. And the edge of the set.
Yeah. Yeah, often you could see the power cable going to the TARDIS console in classic era and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's a definite step up.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it's my favourite interior, but still for the time it looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was the latest new interior. Like I said, besides the McGann movie, it was the largest it had ever been.
Yeah.
But did you notice the wobble when Rose grabbed the handrail? It wobbled quite noticeably, which I was pleased about.
Which it still did back when it was moved to the Experience. I remember that being very wobbly.
Yeah. What's the line? Look at that. I missed the wobble. Solid as a rock. And she said the book version had various, because it's a book, it can expand it slightly.
Yeah.
And you had various autons along the bank to the London Eye as living statues and whatever.
Oh,
and
okay.
As entertainers who get off and as a line of protection.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. They certainly could have gone further with it.
Being a book, they do expand the budget slightly.
Yeah. It's well known that they had absolute hell on this first block.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a lot of behind the scenes to... Because what was
Keith Boke, the director, did not come back.
The actor who played Clive, he said he was in the first set of recording where everything was happy and jolly,
yeah.
Went on holiday, come back and nobody was talking to each other.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they're about 3 weeks in and already 4 weeks behind schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
It was manic.
It was.
But
it
you
was.
Don't really get a sense of that on
It doesn't come program. Across on screen.
No, which is good.
Yep.
And also, this is very RTD, but it's very domestic. We've never had domestic no. guys. To the point where the Doctor, when he remixed Rosette her flat... She makes him a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Well, she's polite.
That sort of thing well, we should have really seen very much.
The nearest I think we got to in classic was Sarah Jane's Aunt Lavinia.
Yeah.
That's the only relation to all the other companions we met, really.
Pretty much. Tegan's aunt.
Didn't last very long.
Yeah, Nissa's father.
Yeah. Didn't last very long.
Yeah, it was a bad idea to be a companion, wasn't it?
Yeah, Turner had a brother that turned up, but anyway, yeah.
Adric's brother.
Didn't last very long. Yeah. And again, we've touched upon it earlier, is the glorious innocent scene between the Doctor and...
Jackie.
Oh, the strange man in my bedroom.
Yeah. I'm only wearing my dressing gown. Yes, you are. Anything could happen. No. And the look on her face. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. that was the moment. That was...
I'm just reminded of a conversation we overheard with Andrew and Ben. I'm naked, Daddy. Yes, you are. I'm going to go and show Grandad. No.
Okay.
But no, at the time, I thought it was a cracking start.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I had a bounce in my step.
Yeah.
It was it was outstanding.
I let you call me Susan for an entire
week.
So, yeah.
I've never said the word Susan so many times. Shouting it across Tesco's was fun.
Yeah. And Susan, would you like to make me a cup of coffee, Susan? Thank you, Susan.
There was the odd dodgy moment, the burping dustbin.
But again...
That kids found that hilarious. Yeah. So.
It's trying to
They're trying to find the level.
Yeah.
Because I do believe them saying that the audience is something between 8 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
That was the area that they were...
So a burping dustbin would be hilarious.
Yeah. It's the fact that all us, the rest of us old sods like it as well. It's beside the point.
I don't know, because you have... That humour. Then you have the bit with Jackie and the Doctor in her bedroom.
Yeah.
Which isn't really aimed for
no.
But they wouldn't have really understood it. And I liked the scene where he's checking out his face for the first time.
Yes.
And also checking out the magazine.
Yeah. Like,
that won't work. He's gay and she's an alien.
And also there was the slight breadcrumbs that got us perked up. I fought in the war. I couldn't help it. War? What war? What's going on?
Yes, because now we've seen
A
fair bit and heard even more on Big Finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a surprisingly effective first episode.
Mm.
I really didn't think it would work, Doctor Who, in the modern age as it was then.
Yeah.
Well, but here we are, nearly 20 years later, and it's still going strong.
We can't call it New Who anymore, because it's almost as old as Classic Who.
Yeah, what do we call it now? If RTD2
Mid-who.
Gets his way, and we've now got another Season 1, I think you call it, rather Series 1.
Series 1.
Well, you've got Classic Who, Old Who, and New Who.
Yeah.
Confusing. Dear. Okay, well, we'd like to hear from you guys. I know it's been a while, but tell us what you thought of Rose. Write to us via show.
At
staggeringstories.net. Two each.
Mm. It's been greedy. I'm almost full.
Hi. Okay, we're now going to talk non-stop. With no guidance, no script, no clue.
God help us.
About Russell T Davies and what we can expect from him. Mm. I'd say pause for music, but we have none.
Okay, do.
I think our first mistake would be to say, oh, I don't think it could work. We did that first time around.
Yeah, I don't have any such fears this time.
We did that for everything from, oh, I don't think it will work, to, oh, my God, Billy Piper. And we've been proved wrong multiple times.
I got to admit, when I learnt that we were going to have R2-D2, I wasn't entirely sure. I had reservations. But after seeing the anniversary specials...
Yeah,
and the Christmas special. Yeah.
And the church in Ruby Road, I think he's still got it.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah. It's how is he going to be different?
Yeah.
having stepped away from it for over a decade, 15 years, how long has it been? Yeah, he's been away from it for quite a while. He didn't come back as a writer for Moffat or
no,
for
he walked away. Yeah. I mean, so he was still doing the Sarah Jane adventures and Torchwood for some of it.
That's true, yes.
But I certainly think to the latter part of the Moffat era and all of the Chibnall era, he walked away.
I don't see why it would be overly different. Obviously, new Doctor, new companion, new technology available to him. Yeah. But he has a style of writing, and I think it would be a mistake for him to ignore that style and try something too new, because he just writes so well for Doctor Who.
Something I just remembered, you mentioned new technologies.
Yeah.
I read an article recently. I know they're using the Mandalorian screens.
Yes,
in next
I heard
season.
They're using it from episode 3 onwards, I think.
I know they didn't use them for
the second special.
The second special.
Yeah.
But I think that's because the set was so large at that. They didn't have screens big enough.
Oh, really? Okay, because that really suffered.
Because that
for not having, for doing traditional green screen.
It didn't.
It really didn't, but...
You are so picky.
You could tell they were
cut out. No, you didn't.
Well, I could. You might not be able to.
You're a droid.
You need to clarify your statement.
You're a droid.
A lot of people have said the same. I'm not alone. Anyway.
What? You and your buddy.
My 4K screen, you could definitely tell.
As I've said before, being blind as a bat sometimes helps.
And as I said before, I am willing to forgive Who a lot, and actually I didn't notice there was no...
No. Anyway.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes, they're using the new LED screens. Yeah, but, it's the new technology. Also, it's the fact that it's something he said about the giggle. It's... was writing Nolly about Noel Gordon.
Noel Gordon, yeah.
Who was the first woman to actually appear on telly.
Yeah.
And writing that down and clocking Stooky Bill and the look of Stooky Bill. And thinking,
that's a Doctor Who monster.
That is. How many stories has he written in his head?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. The technology shouldn't detract at all from how good the story is.
No.
That's the first rule. The story needs to everything be sound.
The story has to work. Everything else is merely window dressing.
Yeah, although the technology will enable you to do things you couldn't do before.
Yeah. Mm. Some of the greatest stories that I've seen and read, or seen, have had the most minimal of budgets. On the flip side, you have magnificent blockbusters that I've fallen asleep to.
Yeah. Rebel Moon.
Yeah.
Magic Roundabout.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't fallen asleep to, which God knows I tried.
We've also obviously already seen a bit of where he's going with Gatua's early era anyway, at least. And it is going a little bit back to that domestic thing.
Yeah.
We had some of that again with Donna and her family in the specials.
Yeah.
And now we've got...
Ruby's mum and nan.
Ruby's family, and presumably her mother will turn up, or whoever that was.
Her foster mum. Is it adoptive mum?
Mum. So we have the mystery of who actually was the person who dropped her off at the church.
And I think...
why was it Mrs. Flood?
And where's Mr. Flood?
Mm. Mm.
I'm presuming we're going to have a stronger story arc than we traditionally had under RTD1.
Possibly.
Which was just a throwaway word, which culminated in something. At the end of the season, generally.
I know we disagree, but I think there was an underlying arc throughout a very, very weak, I mean, mentioning, but it was an underlying arc of the entire RTD seasons.
Or his entire era.
Yeah, like Moffat. Not as strong as Moffat, which was not necessarily a good thing.
I preferred the Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
I prefer just little hints here and there that something else was going on, rather than, look at this!
I don't think that would fly, particularly given it's a shorter season now. Yeah, it's 8 episodes.
Yeah, you'd have to be stronger, or there wouldn't be enough time for people to go, hang on.
So I think it will be a stronger, more cohesive arc than he did before.
Mm.
So I think he will have taken that on board from Moffat and Chibnall to a degree.
It was certainly at the forefront on the Church of Ruby Road.
Yes.
Which... personally, I think is more of a first episode than Space Babies.
Space Babies.
Will be. But
Space Babies?
Space Babies.
Like Muppet Babies.
See, I'm looking forward to it, because you hear Space Babies and you think, what the hell? But I think we've got another adipose thing coming here.
This is it.
It's another question. Would he bring back any of his old creations?
Yeah. From the little snippets I've seen and the little trailers I've seen, I'm going, no, it's always going to be originals. Okay. despite his promises, we may have the Daleks.
Okay, as he said not. I'm sure they will have to turn up at some point during Gatto's era.
Yeah, I think he said they're giving him a rest, which I am quite content for it, the rest to be for the entire first season, including Christmas specials.
As they did with Whittaker's. They didn't have the Daleks until the special.
Until the special.
But we know that they all blatantly lie through their teeth. So.
But again, I still love the Daleks. I think they're glorious, but they have to be used sparingly.
Yeah, but we've got to have the 15th Doctor
fight
the Daleks. He's got to go until
his second season or whatever.
Yeah. Will Sidemen be back? I don't know, because I don't feel like they've generally been done justice.
Unfortunately, to my mind, the Cybermen and definitely the Cybermasters are just the stool of the Master. They are no longer an entity in their own right. They have to be tagged with the Master now.
I don't know about that way in the future. But
yeah.
he was the one who set them up. He was the one who created them. He was the one who used them in...
That particular line of Cybermen.
The Cybermasters.
Yeah.
They are, unfortunately, stooges to them. They need to be their own entity again.
Which I'm sure he would do. But.
Are we going to get any closure on the whole toy maker? The hand picking up the gold tooth, which I think was probably Kate. I think they've got into Kate's head when she took the band off. I think something happened.
Maybe.
I don't know. Again, he's saying that he's banking the Master for a little while. But again...
Lies.
Which is not unprecedented in New Who.
Yeah.
Matt Smith didn't have a Master at all.
Moffat didn't go anywhere near him. Yeah. Until...
Until Missy.
Until Missy, yeah.
Missy was excellent.
I'm not denying that.
Yeah. Didn't say you were. Just saying Missy was excellent.
I do remember in his original run, Russell T trying to figure out a way to do a musical episode.
Okay.
That he never got around to.
And so they've got a song and dance man now.
As we commented earlier, he's certainly got dancer's legs.
In a jar. potentially. I mean, obviously after the giggle, in theory that's now easier to explain away in a Buffy sort of way.
Yeah.
Which was harder before.
You have...
Dancing Demon.
The dancing fever back in the 1700s in Germany.
I wasn't there.
No. Apparently a woman started dancing and it caused mass hysteria and people would dance. People actually died due to exhaustion because they couldn't stop dancing, but it was a form of mass hysteria.
Oh, okay. Like Eurovision.
Yeah, like Eurovision. So that is a hook, like it was with Buffy, I think.
Yeah.
A hook to bring that in. That would be so cool.
Because I've yet to see a musical episode of any genre that I haven't really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Xena, Buffy, and Strange New Worlds.
Yeah.
You look at it on paper and think, that's terrible.
And then it works.
And then, bam, K-pop Klingons.
Although I think Buffy's was still the best.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I've got to admit.
Yeah.
But I did like the fact that we had... I know we're switching tracks slightly, but we had a line in Strange New Worlds as, I don't want to be a bunny.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway.
So what else might he do differently now he's got more budget?
Well, certainly looking at the trailers, the little snippet trailers that I've seen, I'm not going to go into great detail here because
no, I've not seen them.
There is more different locations that they're doing.
Okay.
I don't know for how long you will see them and how long they'll be on screen, but it could be that number 15 is showing off to Ruby and taking her to just a quick pit stop in different places.
Could be.
Just to show...
That's one thing about RTD's first season back in 2005. It was all Earth-based.
Yes.
Either in orbit around Earth or something. Future, past, whatever. Yeah. But it was always Earth-based. Yeah. I'm assuming that's not going to be the case in the future. Well, I mean, who knows? I haven't seen the trailers.
Again, but... I know there's sort of one deep space and one prehistoric. Mm. But how long they're on the screen for is another matter.
Yeah.
One thing that definitely is different, the train. On the New York subway.
Oh, God, yes!
Do you remember when we were in New York and there was that train that was all Man from the High Tower?
Yeah.
They've decorated inside and out a tube train.
Yeah. There is video footage. It's the entire train, and they've decorated each cab as a different episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It looks so good.
Maybe wait until it's finished, but I'll look at photos, right?
Well, there's a Shooty Gatwa shared a picture of him standing outside one, and Millie Gibson has shared a picture of herself in Times Square with the, standing in front of the mahoosive advertising screen.
A mahoosive LED screen. And it's,
Yes, I was there a few months back,
Advertising budget's quite high.
Also, I know Shooty has been on various stateside chat shows.
Oh, is he?
I know they both did a Good Morning in Britain a couple of weeks ago.
I saw that existed. I didn't watch.
I've just caught... I can't remember the name of the chat show host, but it's one of the late night chat shows.
Okay.
I think it was Jimmy Fallon.
Could be. I can't remember which one. Mm. I'll have to look it up. I think I read somewhere the line was the BBC goes, "Oh, Disney, if you could let us have a little bit of money for advertising." Money?
Yeah, it's really impressive that it's getting that sort of coverage.
Well, this is it. I think something I've read somewhere, for this to work on Disney, it has to make it in the States.
Yes.
So that is where they're pushing it at the moment.
Yeah, which makes sense. So by the time this podcast goes out, the first two episodes will have been...
We would have known.
Only streamed on iPlayer, but would have been broadcast.
Yeah.
When are you watching them?
Probably on the Saturday morning after I wake up. I don't think I want to stay up late, because...
Yeah, we are. We're staying up.
we're going to try to stay up.
Do them as they drop.
Because I've done that a couple of times with films, you know, midnight screenings.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is fine until it's a 2.5-hour film and you're getting to 2:30 in the morning and you're struggling to stay awake. You just don't care about the film anymore.
That's different being, though, it will be at home.
Yeah.
So if we fall asleep, we fall asleep, you know.
Well, yeah, you can just rewind it, but I think I'd rather be fresher for it in the morning.
I do remember us missing World Enough in Time, because we were out and at an event and watched it when we got in bed on the tablet.
Oh, the tablet. Wow,
I think it's about 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm presuming these will be 4K on the iPlayer as well, which they won't be broadcasting 4K. Not a thing. So, yeah, I will probably watch it first thing. Also, it means I don't have to worry about not looking at my phone all day. It's difficult when it's controlling my lights and my heating and my car and everything
else. Just turn off your Facebook notifications.
It's not just Facebook, though. It's also...
Turn off your social media notifications.
It's not just social media, either. It's news feed. I get news articles come up in my notification.
All notifications except your lights and that. You go into settings to notifications and you turn them off. You are a genius, man. What is wrong with you?
I don't turn off my notifications. That's sacrilege.
His life is just a constant string of beeps and tweets.
But, yeah. Presumably it's Disney again who have decided we'll do two episodes to entice people in.
Yeah, well, they've done it before with Andor. They dropped dropped the first three episodes immediately.
And I can see why in that case, because that was quite a slow burn, those first three. It really ramped up in the third episode.
Yeah.
So you don't want to lose people in the first one or even the second one in that case. I suspect it's not quite the same here. I think if they put out just the first one, it would probably be enough to hook people.
Yeah. Well, the difference between Andor's an anthology series, who, for the most part, is standalone.
Yeah, Andor's very serialised.
Yeah.
It's one long story or sort of three stories, really.
Yeah. It all goes over a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Whereas, for the majority, Space Babies should be wrapped up at the end of Space Babies.
Space Babies.
Wrapping up Space Babies.
He's not entirely sure
if we're taking the piss.
Yeah, he doesn't know any of these titles. So.
In the second episode, what was it? The Lollipop Licker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And third episode, I'm Going to Get You.
That one looks good. Quite creepy.
Yeah.
Anything else?
If I may.
You're a sad boy.
Yes.
Fair enough.
The only other thing I want to mention, obviously, when he brought back Doctor Who in 2005, he did a sort of soft reboot by having the Time War and stuff. Whereas here, he's clearly doing the opposite.
Yeah.
He's incorporating the Timeless Child
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, he's embracing that. So
it's a slightly different starting off point.
Yeah.
Interesting to see where he goes with the past 20 years,
it'll be interesting what he does with it, because I do remember reading with Chibnall that he had no idea where the Timeless Child was going. It was just the good idea on a spur of the moment, which I think was one of the problems, and we'll just throw it out there. Whereas Russ RTD is more of a...
Straczynski.
Yeah, more of a planner, more of a plotter.
To a degree. There's still been a lot of things he's written, and just that's a problem for later me or for next showrunner.
Yeah.
Like killing off the Master with the ring and all that the first time around.
Yeah.
He didn't know he was going to bring the Master back for the specials. At least according to his own his own book.
But as fans, you know, you always assume the Master, like Davros, has always escaped. No matter how chopped up and mangled. Well,
The Master and Davros are always dead until the next good idea comes along.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to it. Despite my initial reservations, I am looking forward to it.
You wouldn't be you if you didn't have your initial reservations. Can I call you Susan if it's really good?
No.
I'm going to call you Susan anyway.
It's going to be good. I know that.
Big Sue.
Also, I think it's going to be, again, quite high energy, quite high paced.
Oh, yes.
It couldn't be.
You've got two very young main cast.
Compared to us, certainly.
Certainly compared to us. So, I think we're going to go back to the days of running. Not that we've really got away from them, but...
I think, it's going to be more joyful than his first season with Eccleston.
Yeah. That table was laid out in the giggle. Because, you know, the interaction between 14 and 15.
Yeah.
Okay. When this comes out, you'd have already seen the first couple of episodes. So tell us what you think of them via show.
At
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo. Do we have any feedback?
We do have a couple of bits of audio feedback.
Ooh.
First one is from Graham Sheridan.
Oh. Hi, Graham.
Hello, Graham.
Hello, Staggerers. Long time no speak.
Hello.
At least from my part. This is Graham from what used to be the Pratchett Podcast. Oh, I'm not sure what I can call myself now. Anyways, plenty to read and speak about, really.
Yeah.
Fallout.
Oh, yes.
Oh, bloody good series. Yeah. I mean, really good.
It was.
How good? I finished episode 8 and looped back round to episode 1 immediately. Wow. Yes, it's that good. And glad I did, because there's stuff in episode 1 that I missed. Now, we are dealing with something that is a scenario that is probably my worst nightmare. Well, it is, as of now, my worst nightmare already happened. But it's very, very well acted, very, very well put together. And doesn't that massive golf bag just look really ridiculous? Anyway, that's just me. Other things, well, moving on to stuff that's currently been shown, The Bad Batch. By the time this goes out, we probably hit the finale.
Yes.
It's been really good. It's unfortunately the last one. We knew it was only going to be a short series as such. But it's been good. I'm just waiting to see if any of the characters that have previously disappeared come back at all. It's sort of nice that Crosshair has seen the light, but I'm not going to say anything more than that. Moving on again, Andrew Cartmell.
Dead.
Him of the... used to write Doctor Who and stuff.
Oh, yes. Script editor.
Back during the Seventh Doctor's time. Well, two books he's brought out in the last couple of months.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. That's a lot going through. First of all, my usual favourite, The Vinyl Detective.
Oh,
this time, it's around the rave scene of the 90s. So something I should have experienced, but seeing I was based in Germany at the time with the British Army, I was more into the Euro dance scene over here, despite my favourite band still being Rush. Anyways, usual standards, well worth getting into, even though it's probably not as deep as some of the other books got into, like it was Flipback. And I think that covers things just about for now, other than Ice Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed your going through the Ice Warriors. Actually, my favourite way to go through that is actually the recording, the audio recording. Because I'll be walking around at the job at night, all alone as usual, and like having something to listen to. That's definitely one of my favourites. Though I do have to admit, as everybody says, the subsequent story of theirs, Seeds of Death, definitely a much better story. And probably because I like the technology that's actually been put forward. Recommend, if you get around to it any time, I know it's 10 episodes, but Invasion? Maybe a re-look at the Invasion?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's also one of those ones where two episodes are animated. Just first thoughts. Anyway, I'll say bye for now. I'll probably have forgotten about half a ton of things I wanted to say. So
we always do.
Cheerio, yeah. And bye for now.
Thank you. Yeah, well, you have done the evasion, but it happened a while ago.
It did happen quite a long time ago, yeah. Yeah.
Probably when it came out.
Probably. I do remember thinking, that's only 4 episodes long. No.
No. It is a good one, though.
Yeah.
We still haven't quite finished every classic Who.
No.
But we're getting there, at least the ones which are available in the
slowly
video format.
Yeah.
Can we have another bit of feedback here from Catherine the Dragon Maker?
Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Before we go to Catherine,
yeah,
someone is really glaring at you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not happy.
Mm. What, the big bird?
No, Terence. Because he knows his mummy's about to speak.
Oh, yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
And Terence, of course. And
hello, Terence.
And Handles.
Hello, Davezilla the Mighty.
Yep. Inky McSquirts a lot.
Hello, folded up and leant against a radiator, Clara.
Dangerous Churchill. Nazi Spock.
Weirdly inserted Moomin.
Various nebulas.
Yep.
Oh, you're a sad 50-year-old. Anyway, Catherine, what have you got to say?
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terence. Hello, Davezilla the Mighty. And hello, Head of Pertwee. I listened to this episode driving home from a previously mentioned Celtic festival, which went very well, thank you for asking.
Good. Oh, good.
And thought to myself, I haven't seen the Ice Warriors. I really should watch it.
Yeah.
I've got a whole week. This can happen.
Yes.
Friends, it didn't happen. I'd like to say that life happened, that things got in the way, and while they did, the truth is I entirely forgot about it until this afternoon, when I absolutely did not have time to watch 6 episodes of 1960s Doctor Who.
Yeah. Indeed.
Good intentions and all that yachts.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the new Ghostbusters either.
Oh.
But there was a big booth devoted to it at Fan Expo Philly, where I've been visiting this weekend. The convention was fun to visit. I've gotten to catch up with some old friends, chat with various vendors and fan groups, and had some great Doctor Who discussions with folks who commented on my All the Doctors cosplay. I didn't see the eclipse either. Well, I experienced it, but it wasn't all I was hoping for.
No.
The sky was clear when I arrived in the small town of Lawville, New York, but the clouds started drifting in before the eclipse actually began. Waiting for the show to start, though, I started chatting with some young folks who had noticed the TARDIS plate on my car. We chatted about Doctor Who and then Star Wars while waiting.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun went dark, we all got to hear the birds being confused and then the frogs started singing. 3 minutes later, we all packed up and headed home.
Yeah.
Mm. My sister, who was about 50 miles east, had reasonably clear skies and got to see the corona. This was most likely my last chance to somewhat easily see an eclipse.
Yeah.
And while the experience wasn't all that I wanted, I still had a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
Doctor Who starts soon.
Yeah.
Now that the Bad Batch has ended, I'm glad to have something else to watch along with Discovery and while waiting for the next Star Wars series to start. Looking back on that sentence makes it seem like I'm not that interested in the new season. I am. I really am. And so are most of the folks I talk Doctor Who with at the con.
Good.
Having avoided most spoilers and all trailers, I nonetheless expect great things coming soon.
Yeah.
That's it for me. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Catherine.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome to Club Old.
Yeah.
We have fun here.
You're really, really, really old, really old, really old, really, really, really old, really, really old. Second verse, same as the first. You're really, really, really old, really old,
really old, really, really, really old, really old.
Well, there's only a few months while all of us in this room are in our 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll be 60.
Ah, well, I won't be really, really old.
You'll be...
I'll be ancient.
Old.
I'll be ancient.
Yeah. But Andy will get there first. Yeah. Crumbly will be there first, won't he?
Well, as I say, I have reached that stage of my life now where my body turns around and says, you thought that was bad. Watch this.
So Crumbly will be 60 in August, won't he?
Yes. Gene will be next year, I suppose, next March.
Will, yeah, and then there's a bit of a gap.
Yeah, a few years.
Yeah, but the psychic quake from when you reach 60 is going to be magnificent.
Perhaps I might decide not to reach 60.
Oh dear. Your turn to be Jerry, not quite
that's
as
not
good.
A good suggestion.
Well, Sean did it when he didn't want to reach 30.
Yeah.
Oh. And so that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
But fear not. In the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun, ooh, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more Who, old and definitely new.
Awesome, yeah.
So until that, W for Who. Wandering...
Wazzuk.
...comes wiggling and waving his windy way...
Willy!
...through Worthing, Wickham and West Chester towards us. It is me, Fake Keith, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
Pathetic earthlings, hurling your bodies out into the void without the slightest inkling of who or what is out here. If you'd known anything about the true nature of the universe, anything at all, you would have remained hidden from it in terror.
You have been listening to Staggering Stories Podcast Series 1, number 445, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith and the Real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and it's been now Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Why?
Yep, that's good.
Give that man an Oscar.
And what time's our thingy?
3:30.
Oh, complete.
We have been discussing this slightly.
Oh, have we?
Yeah. Well, many of us think we're going to be going in with the attitude of Captain, the shields are down to 75%. The warp manifold is jammed open. But if we do a rave phrase flux burst at a frequency of 75% gigahertz, we'll be able to rectify all the problems.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's going to be, guys, there's a red thingy going towards a green thingy. Yeah, yeah. I think
we're the green thingy.
I'd be about it. I don't know what roles he was going to take.
I want to be weapons, just so, even if we're on an exploratory mission and I have to be good, at the end I get to shoot him.
Imagine Lieutenant Tackleberry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Captain Zap Brannigan.
Kill the velour.
Are you giggling at my glasses again?
No, I chuckled lovingly at you. Jeez.
Yeah.
Former work friend. She's got a little girl now. She's over in Sri Lanka visiting her parents.
Oh, right.
And her little girl is just about 6.
Okay.
And they got to the beach and the kid was stripping off and running down the beach. And then eventually you've got this little tiny 6-year-old streaking down the beach. And her daddy's running behind her, picking up all the clothes.
Yeah.
And he'd said to her, come on, we have to put something on. You can't go running around naked. And she was like, no, I'm fine. And he goes, well, at least put your knickers on. And she says, no, then they'll get all wet and horrible and they'll be nasty. He goes, well, you don't have to wear them when we go. You can just be naked under your dress. And apparently he may as well have told her he was going to eat a puppy. She was disgusted that she would wear nothing under her dress because that's not proper, says this naked little thing.
Can't go commando.
Nope,
go naked entirely.
Full naked, but not commando.
You can streak, but you can't go commando.
A lady has principles.
With the death of... The death of official Doctor Who... Okay, I can't read. You should know that by now.
What should we do first?
Well, I think it's probably Rose first, because the other one...
Do
the
Rose.
Other bit is sort of... springs off of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Frivolity and jollity, more
news. News? You were doing so well.